the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Here's your host, Jim Poplava.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jim Poplava, and welcome to another edition of Lifetime Income. We're going to take a little bit different course today. We're calling this Millennial Monday as we take a look at values, motivations, and money habits with millennials. And joining us on the program is Josh Nunn. He is a millennial and he's a financial advisor. So we're going to look at money from the perspective of a millennial. Josh, why don't we start and talk about what distinguishes millennials when it comes to values? And the first thing that comes to mind is you grew up in what I call a very turbulent era. If we take a look at, you know, the last 20 years, we had the Gulf War, we had 9/11, we had the bursting of the tech bubble, then we had the great financial recession, we've had QE. So we've had a lot of things, including a 10% unemployment rate, which we hadn't seen since the 70s. So as we begin, talk about how that might have shaped your values in the way you look at things.
Thanks for having me on. I would say a large part of it is due to the economic and geopolitical environment that I grew up in. So I want to illustrate it this way. You know, for example, let's take a Gen Zer or someone that was born anywhere in the 2000s. We'll take 2000, for example. They are the youngest generation right now. By 2019, the Gen Zer is 19 years old in this example. And the economic environment for somebody from 2000 to 2019 has been pretty good. They've actually been in an economic boom. So by 2019, the Gen Zer is 19 years old, and the economic environment has actually been one of the longest bull markets within the last 100 years. So now let's take a millennial like myself who was born in 1995. For this example, I'll use 1990. By 2009, the millennial is 19, but the geopolitical environment is much different than it is today, right? So in 2001, most millennials witnessed the terrorist attacks of 9/11. We had the Afghan War from 2001 to 2014, and we had the Iraq War from 2003 to 2010, which most millennials remember. Along with that, with respect to the economic environment, it was also completely different because millennials had to watch their parents experience two significant bear markets, that being the tech bust in 2000 and the financial crisis in 2009. And I can actually personally remember my parents clipping a lot of coupons back in those harder financial times and my mom being laid off because of the economic collapse that happened during that very, very difficult time economically. Even from the geopolitical standpoint, I remember 9/11 as a kid. However, a Gen Zer won't because they just weren't old enough. So that's why considering the economic and geopolitical landscape from a millennial standpoint is very important because it's shaped a lot of the values and how we handle money today.
Josh, I'm going to hit upon something. Millennials are probably the most educated generation that we've seen. I read a statistic. I think it's over 60% of millennials have a college education. And yet, when you talk about some of the hard times your parents went through, this also affected millennials. For example, the Great Recession. Unemployment grew over 10%. There were a lot of millennials entering college or getting out of college, student loans, and then also not being able to get a job. So let's talk about education-wise, what does that mean for a millennial in terms of job opportunities? Are they the same as their parents, as boomers? And also, why, given all this, millennials tend to be less trusting?
Absolutely. Yeah, and a lot of this has to do with the millennial mindset. So what this economic and geopolitical environment has done is it's led to a generation that is more prone to risk aversion. And what we are seeing is that millennials are more fiscally conservative and less willing, for example, to invest in things like stocks, which are typically more risky, and they've seen their parents lose a lot of money by investing in it. So by result, they're not as willing to engage in those riskier activities. You know, today, millennials are some of the youngest savers, actually, interestingly enough. The average millennial started saving at age 22, while their other generational cohorts like Gen Xers and Boomers actually started later in their years, somewhere around 27 for Xers and 35 for Baby Boomers. Now, on the topic of trust, That's another thing which is kind of an interesting statistic. Least trusting than any previous generation are millennials. In fact, there was a general social survey conducted by the Pew Research Center back in 2014. And one of the questions they asked was this. They said, generally speaking, would you say that most people can be trusted or that you can't be too careful in dealing with people? And the responses were pretty interesting. 40% of boomers and 31% of Gen Xers said that, generally speaking, yes, most people can be trusted. However, millennials, only 19% of millennials agreed with that question. Another interesting component of trust is when it comes to who we trust, you know, as millennials. UBS Investor Watch conducted a study in the same year, back in 2014, and they asked millennials and non-millennials who they trust the most among parents, friends, and financial advisors. So this is actually kind of from a different perspective. And what they found is that 40% of non-millennials trusted financial advisors, 14% friends, and 4% their parents the most. And these are non-millennials we're talking about. Now, if we look at millennials, that generational cohort, interestingly enough, millennials are quite the opposite. The study revealed that millennials put most of their trust actually in their parents, which was at 41%, followed by their friends at 26%, and then dead last, they trusted financial advisors the least, which was at 14%.
How much do you think that reflects in terms of what they saw happen to their parents, where you had probably two significant bear markets, being down about 50% with the tech bursting of the tech boom, and then, of course, the great financial crisis was 58%. Do you think a lot of that is associated with what happened during that period of time?
Absolutely. I think they're very highly correlated because, again, you know, millennials are one of the only generations that's seen their parents struggle through not only one financial crisis, but two. And, you know, they've had to experience their parents having to cut costs, having to live on a little bit less, or even see their parents go through a job loss, see their 401ks and their retirement savings get wiped out. So absolutely, I definitely think there's a very strong correlation between those two.
Now, what is it with millennials, and maybe this is a matter of trust, but for example, a large portion of that generation favors or leans more towards socialism. They were a big supporter of Bernie Sanders' campaign in 2016. What is it about the system that is this get back to trusting? In other words, with the bear markets that we saw in the last decade, in the fall in the stock market, the losses their parents went through, the difficulties getting jobs, they have less trust in the capitalistic system and are more leaning towards socialism.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think there is a lot more dependence on the government, which is interesting because another very popular trend among millennials is actually for independence and self-empowerment. That seems to be a value that they hold very near and dear to their heart. They're very much into how can I teach myself versus how can I hire someone to do that for me. On the socialism aspect, not to get very political here, but I do think that there is a swing in political beliefs that typically happens from generation to generation. The older generations have typically been more conservative, more traditional way of thinking, where the newer, younger generations seem to be a lot more tolerant and open-minded to outside ideas like socialism that haven't been openly accepted before. So I wouldn't say that it's widely accepted among millennials, but I do think it's more so accepted as a some kind of political standing or perspective.
I want to talk about something else that shaped your generation. You're a generation that grew up with social media. So you're accustomed to flexibility. You have instant access to things today via the internet, your smartphone, your tablet. You have globalization today. And once again, social media. You grew up in the social media revolution.
In fact, millennials are often referred to as the digital generation because it's very true. In fact, Jim, I'm sure you remember when the first computer came out.
Oh, my goodness. It's hard to believe this. I remember when I got my first Apple E computer and there was a spreadsheet program called VisiCalc, and I was in corporate finance at the time, but I would use my Apple and spreadsheet to do company budgets. And then, of course, when I got into the financial planning business, IBM had come out with a personal computer. There were software programs. I mean, I did my first financial plans, Josh, with an HP 12C calculator, and it was typed up on a typewriter. I mean, can you imagine doing something like that today, where you have software programs, you have instant access to everything? But it did revolutionize my own business, and also the way the business, the direction the business took.
In fact, you know, on the topic of instant access and technology specifically, you know, millennials are right in that revolution where we had not only the technology revolution, but also the internet revolution. And that has drastically changed our way of life and how our instant access is fully capable to us at our fingertips. I remember, if we want to talk about Apple for a second, I remember in middle school when the first Apple iPod Touch came out. It sounds kind of weird to say this, but I knew one kid at my school who actually became popular overnight because he was the first kid to have one. And I remember the next day, you know, remember seeing 30 kids surrounding him at the lunch table, absolutely absorbed into this touchscreen experience because it was the first of our kind. And then, you know, you wait 4 or 5 years later, now we're in high school and everybody has iPhones. So it's instant access, it's instant messaging, instant news, instant email. That's just kind of what we've grown up in. And it's definitely defined the generation that we are and what we value as well, which is definitely flexibility, instant access, globalization. You know, we have a lot of connections and desires around the world. With respect to traveling, you know, we have a lot of friends in other countries. We've been to all kinds of places all over the world, more so under the millennial segment, because we're so open to globalization and exploring and taking advantage of new opportunities like that and experiences.
Let's talk about a last thing when it comes to value. Millennials enjoy making money. They're well educated, as we talked about, but money isn't everything to them. What's more important?
Yeah, money is important, and it's very interesting that for the millennial cohort, you know, ambition looks very different. There was actually a report by Deloitte back in 2018 that looks at the Millennial Global Wide Survey, and what they found is that 46% of millennials were actually more attracted to making a positive impact in their communities or just society in general at large versus something more traditional like starting a family or having kids. So again, it's a very important trend that's very interesting among millennials where yes, money is important, but it's actually something more important, which is that we long to be part of something bigger than ourselves. We long to be part of something that means something or has an impact on the greater good.
I want to talk about motivations, at least with boomers. When I grew up, it was you went to college, you got married, you saved up money, and your first goal was to get a home. Let's talk about millennial goals. As you pointed out, they're savers, but their goals and priorities might be a little different. We've heard about millennials are more apt to, let's say, live in a downtown, live in an apartment, take Uber versus, let's say, living in the burbs, owning a home, or even owning a car.
And actually, you know, I might even take a step back too. You know, despite all the stereotypes among millennials, millennials and their money habits are actually, believe it or not, just as good, if not better, than other generations. In fact, new research has shown this. Every year, the Bank of America conducts a study called the Better Money Habits Millennial Report. And with respect to savings, Jim, what they found last year is that 63% of millennials are saving, which is closely in line with what Gen Xers and boomers are at as far as saving rates, which is around 64 and 65% respectively. When it comes to saving, the numbers aren't bad. In fact, 67% of millennials who had a savings goal actually stuck to it pretty much every month. 43% stuck to a budget, and 47% of millennials at least had about $15,000 or more in savings already. The report also showed that millennials are actually more likely to set savings goals than any other previous generation, which is kind of interesting. Now, if we move away from saving and we talk about, let's say, financial stressors among millennials, 35% of millennials responded that not saving enough was by far their biggest financial concern. So while they're in a good financial position, they actually don't believe so themselves, which is kind of interesting. 24% said that being in the wrong career path was their biggest financial concern. 21% said that not saving for retirement was their largest concern. And lastly, 20% said that not saving to be able to afford a home was also their biggest financial concern. Now, you also mentioned savings priorities, right? So what is most important to a millennial when it comes to saving money? The report also went into, and what I believe to be kind of the reason, which reflects this mindset that we talked about earlier with risk aversion. The millennial mindset is risk aversion, which we also discussed was due to the economic and geopolitical environment that we've grew up in. Well, when it comes to saving priorities, according to last year's Better Money Habits Millennial Report by BofA, when asked what they are saving towards, 59% of millennials said that they're saving for an emergency fund. And what that tells you is that they kind of have that very risk-averse mentality that they would much rather have an emergency fund for those rainy days, which is actually very financially smart. So that means they don't have to tap into retirement savings or their longer-term savings buckets. Now, second to emergency savings was followed by retirement, which was at 42%. Vacation savings was 33% of their overall financial priority. And then buying a home was 32%. And then in last priority on their minds was actually purchasing a new car, which was at 25% among this millennial survey.
So a lot of this, Josh, goes back to two severe bear markets, stock market down 50% and the tech boom down almost 60%, but also the difficulty because in 2009 and 2010, the unemployment rate got up over 10%. We hadn't been at those levels going back. You'd have to go back to, let's say, 1981 in that recession to see those levels. So do you think that experience of not only the bear market, but also the difficulty in finding jobs, here you are, you have a well-educated generation, you get out of college, you have student loans, and a lot of the jobs weren't there originally.
And another component to that is also the economic environment that we've seen post-crisis, because we're still in a very low interest rate environment. And quite frankly, we haven't seen wage growth as strong as it's been in decades prior. So for somebody who's entering the job market as a millennial, say in 2010 or 2011, has a high amount of student loans and a salary that isn't growing as fast as it has historically. So already they're put at a disadvantage compared to other generational cohorts just because of the economic environment.
And as we talk about this, let's talk about they have a low trust of financial advisors. A lot of that we relate to what happened in the bear market, but also they're a generation that is more interested in finding how to do something rather than being told to do something.
And that's why robo-advisors right now are so popular among millennials, as well as other kinds of young, interesting investing companies like Motif Investing is one that's very popular right now. Seeking Alpha is another one. Capital is another one as well. And quite honestly, even YouTube, there's so many things that you can find on YouTube, how-to videos, right, about how to invest in options or how to invest in the stock market, things that are at millennials' fingertips that empower them to learn on their own and make their own investing decisions without having to work with a financial advisor. Now, this doesn't mean that there's no opportunities for us, as advisors and wealth managers, because there absolutely is. And in fact, I think that we can be a key to a lot of those millennials out there who may be looking for a financial advisor, but just don't know where to start.
So as you take a look at this and looking forward in terms of what happens to your generation, as we talked about, their priorities are a little different. Boomers, it was get married, start a family, go out to the suburbs. Millennials are perfectly fine renting an apartment, taking Uber. So they're more into what I would call experience of things rather than the ownership of things. Explain that.
That's a big driver when it comes to millennials. In fact, even purchasing decisions among millennials too. There was a recent statistic that came out. Millennials are actually three times more likely than boomers to seek out opinions on something before they buy something. And so this is why online reviews are so important. Testimonials, frequently asked questions, and even word of mouth marketing are so effective among millennials because they care more about what have other people's experiences been with certain products and services. Now, on the topic of experiences, that is very much a trend among millennials, which they prefer to spend their money on experiences over assets. And so that is part of the reason so many millennials, they like to spend their money on travel, social outings, food and dining out, music festivals, things that will give them more of an experience rather than a materialistic kind of point of view or mindset. And I think that also partially plays into why homeownership rates are some of the lowest among millennials than any previous generation, which actually you and I, Jim, have talked about on our previous show that we did together, which was on college. Homeownership rates among millennials are actually at 36% right now, which is the lowest of any generation so far.
So when you look at this and you have a couple things, you have probably one of the most educated generation. You have a generation that grew up with access to the Internet of Things. They have social media. You just talked about if they're ready to make a purchase, no matter what it is, they're more likely to go online and value the opinions and reviews of others. Do you see that changing over time? In other words, as they mature, you know, another 10 years, do they move into becoming more conservative? Do they change their values? Or at that time, they think, you know what, we've been mobile for a period of time, moving from city to apartment to apartment. Maybe it's time to settle down, buy a house in the burbs, and raise the family.
It's going to be really interesting to see what their priorities are, you know, after we see the next recession, maybe the next decade after that too, because so far, I mean, millennials are actually getting into that age of home buying. I think the oldest millennial right now is just about to get into their 40s, believe it or not, and that is kind of the prime time to begin buying homes, especially for younger generations, because they're doing a lot of that so much later on in life. So it'll be really interesting to see what lifestyle changes occur among both the millennial generation and the Gen Z generation as they continue to age and as we begin to be unraveled in a digital world and a very instant access world. I think even the concept of homeownership could change and maybe look a little bit different. You know, right now, a lot of companies are talking about the ride sharing and gig economy that's very prevalent in society today. And what could be interesting and something that we see in the next maybe 10 or 15 years down the road, like we could expect to see with cars, which is ride sharing, where we could actually have a point in time where we don't see car ownership anymore. It's actually all ride sharing because it's cheaper, it's more efficient. You don't have to worry about the maintenance costs of owning a car. And quite frankly, it's just kind of the way of the world. So we could see something like that begin to develop, not so much in the auto space, but even in the home space, where we see a lot more renting, a lot more condos, shared community living situations, not so much the traditional homes that we've seen be so popular over the last millennium. So it could be very interesting what we see in the next 10 to 20 years develop because, again, millennials will be the biggest consumer generation in quite a few number of years because of the ages that they are becoming right now, the purchasing decisions that they're making, and also the drivers that's driving not only their motives and values, but the economic environment as well.
It's going to be an interesting generation because, you know, one of the things that fits into this, I'm reminded, Josh, of one of my clients. In the last decade, he grew up in Manhattan, worked for one of the big publishing companies. In Manhattan, he didn't own a car because there were traffic jams. So he was able to walk to work or he took the subway. So he used mass transit. And when he retired and moved out to California, one of the first things that we had to do is he had to get a car and actually start driving. So, you know, he grew up his adult career working in Manhattan and not owning a car. So, you know, when you think of millennials living in large populated cities like Los Angeles, San Diego, New York City, Chicago, places like that, That could be very well. Maybe they take the L train in Chicago. Josh, any advice as we close here that you would give millennials as they work their way through their working career, investment career?
Yeah, I mean, I would absolutely say just continue learning. I mean, that's something, I'm a millennial myself, and I love learning. I think that when the moment in life that we stop learning is the moment that we die. Always be learning, always be trying to develop and become a better self tomorrow than you are today. So when it comes to financial goals and investing, feel free to give us a call. We have millennial advisors in our office that would love to speak with you. And there's also so much information already available to us out there. So I would highly suggest that you do your own research and see what it is that you're interested in, whether it's saving for a specific financial goal or just wanting to invest for fun. Whatever it is, there's so much available to us. It's important that we take our time and that we research those things and become, you know, experts in that. And if you're ever interested in calling our office, you can do so by calling our toll-free number at 888-486-3939. We'd love to speak with you.
All right, Joshua, listen, thanks for joining us. And don't forget tomorrow coming up on Lifetime Income, Justine will be interviewing Debbie and Michael Campbell as they talk about traveling when you're retired the Airbnb way. I know a good friend of ours right now just came back from Europe. They spent 6 weeks over there, and they were Airbnb-ing their whole trip, which was considerably cheaper. All of that coming up tomorrow. In the meantime, until we talk again, we hope you have a pleasant week.
The Financial Sense NewsHour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the NewsHour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense NewsHour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the NewsHour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.